Welcome to Truth News Radio Australia on the 20th of October 2010. I'm your host Harrowood Fenton, broadcasting tonight with Joshua Jackson. Now we're going to cross to a pre-recorded session from today's Parliament Question Time, and we've got quite a big story here to cover, folks. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Questions without notice. Are there any questions? The member for Kooyong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Prime Minister. I refer to the comments of Kevin Bracken, President of the Victorian Trades Hall Council and member of the Port Melbourne branch of the Labor Party.
Josh Frydenberg,
in relation
Victoria.
To the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centre on September the 11th, 2001, and I quote, "I believe the official story is a conspiracy theory that doesn't stand up to scientific scrutiny." If the Prime Minister finds these comments as offensive as most right-thinking Australians, what action will the Prime Minister take to discipline Mr. Bracken and send a message to others that such remarks are unacceptable?
Order. 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 The House will come to order. The member for Dixon. Prime Minister.
Julia Gillard.
Thank you very much, and I thank the member for what I understand to be his first question and congratulate him for his election to this place. He follows in distinguished shoes for Petro Georgiou's contributions to this House, about which we were only talking just yesterday. On his question, obviously I don't agree with the remarks. Obviously they are stupid and wrong. I think the member was in the House yesterday when I gave my Prime Minister's statement on Afghanistan. I would refer him to that. That is my view, obviously. It is the view of the Labor Party. If the member wants to research our policy that goes through our national conferences and other places, then he will find that outlined, our view about the conflict in Afghanistan and why Australia is there. As the member, I think, would probably be aware, the Labor Party is a large organisation. People join it as individuals. We don't dictate what people think. Neither does the Liberal Party, in my understanding.
Prime Minister, resume her seat. Order. Order. The House will come to order. The manager of opposition business on a point of order.
Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister was asked what action she would take to send a message. I'd ask you to bring her to that part of the question.
Order. The House will come to order. As has often been the case, what I'm about to say will set me aside from the rest of the House, because I simply say to the manager of opposition business that, having learnt my lesson in the last Parliament, I did not rule the question out of order on the basis that it would appear that in the last Parliament there was a very broad interpretation of what interests the Prime Minister had in party political matters. Now, having said that, I think that what I've heard of the response, I would gather as being directly relevant to the question. Again, I refer my remarks about the difference between a direct answer and direct relevance. The Prime Minister has the call.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I was making the simple point that the Labor Party is a large organisation, and one would expect that there would be individuals in a large organisation who have views that I view as wrong, and I view this view as wrong.
All right, we'll leave it there. Cross now to Josh Jackson for comment.
Ah, it's a glorious day when 9/11 truth gets mentioned in Parliament.
It is, isn't it? I mean, it's so exceptional. It's actually the first time, I must admit. It's a milestone.
You know, I mean, I congratulate the trade unionists for bringing such a, you know, such a view out into the public, because not enough people do it in positions of power. And the backlash, you know, is to be expected. But you know what I love? I love how they went on to this rant about, you know, order in the House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That often comes up. Yeah.
You know, like she was just answering. And then boom, boom, boom.
Pandemonium.
It's just stupid. It's just a stupid concept. And
stupid and wrong. I mean, that was what she said. He is stupid and wrong.
Yeah. Because when you look at science, reason, and evidence, you're just stupid and wrong.
Now,
but the thing is, there's nothing wrong. It's not about wrong or right. This is the thing about the 9/11 truth movement or the honourable and fastidious side of the 9/11 truth movement. We have people like ae911truth.org, for people that haven't seen that, is literally over 1,200 professional architects and engineers asking questions about the physics and science and about the thermite, the nanothermite that has been found in the dust. And a lot of it has been found.
And I stress that this is what Kevin Bracken was focusing on. Kevin Bracken, and we're going to play a clip from the interview from the radio show in question. Kevin Bracken was not espousing an extremist political view.
No.
He was actually espousing science.
Now, Herod, how did this all come about?
Indeed. Let me fill you out on the tiniest details. This morning, on the 20th of October 2010, there was a radio talk show in Melbourne on ABC Local Radio, led by John Fain. And I believe they were talking about the Afghanistan situation. I'm not exactly sure what the context of it was, but I assume it was something to do with the Afghanistan situation, because today also a shocking statement was released from Julia Gillard saying that we could expect to be in Afghanistan for the next 10 years.
At least, she said. At least another 10 years.
Yeah, at least the next 10 years. And that was actually going to be my lead story for tonight in itself.
Yeah.
Because it was such a shocking thing to say.
Mm. And you know, this ridiculous argument, sorry to interject that, just sort of, and we're moving a bit sideways, but it's so important. You know, they keep coming up with this tripe about having to support our troops by keeping them in a war zone. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, honestly, I literally had a belly laugh when I heard that, you know, where we have to support our troops by keeping them there. I didn't laugh because it was – I just laughed out of almost total lunacy at that argument. It's so Orwellian.
Yes. And look, I'm just going to actually play you a quick clip here from that story, then we'll get back into Kevin Bracken. Just going to play that now.
Minister. Julia Gillard addressed the concerns of Australians at the mounting death toll of our troops. They are not dying in vain. She says real and measurable progress is being made.
Australia will not abandon Afghanistan, but we must be very realistic about the future. Transition will take some years. We will be engaged through this decade at least.
From the opposition leader, lockstep support.
We are prepared to accept choices by the Afghan people that we don't like. Our key stipulation is merely that Afghanistan should never again become a base for international terrorism.
Now, that story, which was from yesterday, and that was in Parliament yesterday, when I read that, I knew there were going to be repercussions from the government taking such an extreme hardline position. I didn't think the repercussions would come so quickly, Josh. I thought it would pan out over time. But basically what's happened is, well, the government has thrown down the gauntlet and has said, look, we are going to take the most extreme militaristic and totalitarian approach to this, which – because there is no choice, because as you can see, the opposition is only going to be equally staunch.
Oh, absolutely.
So we have no say, because most of the people in Australia didn't want the invasion to start off with. They don't want these wars. People just want to get on with their lives. People have got jobs, family, business, their careers, their marriages. People don't want a war. We don't want to be involved in a war halfway around the other side of the world with people that we have no quarrel with. Okay? So, and the reason why Kevin Bracken spoke up today, I think, is that he's had enough. He's been a 9/11 truther for years, and he's spoken at some of our events. He's a friend of John Bursell, regular contributor to this show. And his union has moved motions which have had agreement from large numbers of the people in the union. Obviously, they've passed motions saying that they say that there will have to be a new investigation of 9/11 because they don't accept the official story. So there's nothing.
Even if it is, because for the safety of people working in buildings,
absolutely.
Because obviously, an office fire now, with the official conspiracy saying that office fires can bring down 47-story steel-structured buildings, we're all sitting in time bombs. So there obviously has to be a new investigation. And this is a lot of the case. A lot of these trade unionists, they you know, want safe working environments.
Correct. Now, look, I'm just going to play to you the clip from the interview. I think it was actually a call-in. I don't think John Fain was expecting this. Kevin Bracken called in to the show, and he is the, just to clarify, he is the president of the Maritime Union of Australia. Mm. I hope I haven't made a mistake there. I'm pretty sure that's his title.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And I'm just going to play to you now what was actually said, because it's really quite important to listen to the tone that the ABC radio host takes when he gets this call. Here we go.
Well, I believe that the official story is a conspiracy theory that doesn't stand up to scientific scrutiny.
Is this a hoax or are you serious?
No, and I'd love to debate you on it publicly, John, if you'd like. And if you think it's ridiculous,
there's nothing to debate.
Challenge it to a public to debate.
There's nothing to debate.
The fact is that aviation fuel doesn't get hot enough to melt steel. And no high-rise steel frame building before or after September 11 has ever collapsed.
So, Kevin, which version of the conspiracy theories do you subscribe to for the alternative?
Well,
are you saying that the Israelis engineered it, or do you believe that there's the Bilderberg group, or which version of the nutter conspiracies is the one you subscribe to?
No, I stick to scientific facts.
Yeah, go on, but which one?
And the facts are that aviation fuel doesn't get hot enough to melt steel.
So what did happen that day? In your mind, what did happen on that day?
In my mind, the buildings were imploded.
Brian Boyd is the Secretary of the Victorian Trades Hall Council. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Does Kevin Bracken speak on behalf of the trade union movement?
No, Kevin's the Secretary of the MUA, and he's welcome to his views, and we've discussed a lot of his theories about those tragic events that happened back on September 11th, 2001 in America. But the official Trade Saw position is not to entertain that conspiracy theory. We had nearly 3,000 working people killed by that terrorist attack, and we condemned the terrorist attack at the time, and we still do, and that's our position.
He invoked the name of the Trades Hall and his position on your, I think, executive, is that right?
Kevin's our president at the moment, yeah. As secretary of the MUA.
But are you comfortable still having a president of the Victorian Trades Hall who has extremist views that are, personally, I find offensive and alarming, but are just generally wacky?
Well, personally, I find him offensive and alarming.
Yeah, I mean, folks, let's just stop there and just analyse the language that, yeah, that this radio presenter is using. He used the word wacky, nutty, offensive, and alarming. Now, you heard what the man actually said. It was very, very moderate in terms of, you know, he wasn't espousing a political view. He wasn't actually calling for any kind of, you know, actions that would be illegal. And he was actually advocating a scientific approach.
That's right.
So where do we get the idea that the other word that John Fain used was extremist? Where do we get the impression that there is anything extreme in what Kevin Bracken said? I can't see anything extreme at all.
Well, look, I you know, imagine this radio host back in Germany and someone calling up and saying, I think the Reichstag burning was I don't believe the official conspiracy theory of a lone nutter burning the Reichstag. It's just, and this guy just going nuts at him. You know.
Well, of course, in today's politically correct world, it's correct to, you know, blame the Nazis. of course.
As you should. I mean, they killed millions of people, right? But what yes. I'm saying is, you can't just always trust government. You can't just always say, "Ooh, because you're asking a few questions, you're a nutter. You're going which nutty version of the truth do you subscribe to? Like it's yes. a newsletter."
But see, our politically correct view, and I would say myth of the modern age, is that Western democratic governments cannot commit evil. That is basically
right.
the view that has been indoctrinated into a couple of generations of people who grew up since the baby boom generation. And, of course, the baby boomers grew up just after World War II ended. And, of course, we were the victors in World War II.
Yeah.
And since then, it has been indoctrinated that we are fundamentally good. You know, our system of government, our leaders might have faults. They may occasionally do some naughty things, but we could never do anything evil. That is actually what has been, and that is at the core of the kind of hysterical reaction of someone like John Fain, who's a baby boomer.
I'd like to just deconstruct, and sorry to interrupt again, Howard. Yeah. You're making wonderful points. It's just, on that argument, If someone really subscribes to that, America and England and Australia have sent thousands of people, now probably hundreds of thousands, to their grave in these two illegal wars.
So correct.
They've sent their own, well, the American soldiers have definitely died. A lot have died. A lot of English soldiers have died. You know, luckily,
correct.
Not too many Aussies have died yet, but a lot of Afghanis, a lot of Iraqis, all dead. So,
yeah.
What are these? Are these virtuous acts of
yeah.
government?
Apparently,
killing their own civilians. By the way, folks, their own people, their own soldiers, sending them in for what? Oil, big oil interests, big, you know, what for the For what? I don't know.
Apparently, that's actually virtuous. Because in killing these people, that's actually unfortunate. But it's all about fostering democracy and freedom, you see. And that's how you do it. You
do it with force.
Yeah. Yeah, you invade, you drop munitions with uranium-tipped warheads everywhere.
And we've got to stay in Afghanistan because we never want to see another place harboring terrorism. Like the terrorists can't just pop up in England somewhere or in, Greenland.
Well, indeed. And, war, to wage war is itself the primary archetypal act of terrorism. That is, to wage war is terrorism in its pure essence.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We waged war. And now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Hermann Göring was hanged after the Nuremberg trials for the crime of waging war. They called it a crime against peace.
Yeah.
Hermann Göring was not executed for pushing Jews into gas chambers. He was executed for what was deemed to be a crime against humanity, namely waging war. That's it.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We waged war. We invaded a country that we claimed had harbored people who hurt Americans in the World Trade Center. We claimed that. But, of course, we never presented evidence in a court of law to substantiate those claims.
No. I mean, Bin Laden is still not wanted by the FBI on their official website. And you can check this out, folks. You can go to FBI.org and look at the most wanted list. And Osama bin Laden is there, but he's not wanted for the attacks of September 11. He's wanted for attacks on American embassies and some naval attack.
Correct.
So why isn't he wanted? So, just that question alone.
He has not been indicted. He has quite simply not been indicted. And wouldn't you think if there was all this amazing evidence that they would have indicted him by now?
Mm.
Well, they obviously don't have any amazing evidence. They've got that stupid grainy video from 2001.
Of a guy eating with the wrong hand.
Yeah, fat-faced guy. Yeah.
Fat Bin Laden.
Yeah. They've got that. I don't think that's going to stand up in court.
Yeah.
Then they got those other videos where, he looks totally different again. And that was the ones that were released just before the 2004 election when he said that he was looking forward to more attacks against America. And then they've got the next ones that were released where his mouth wasn't even moving.
And then there's the video where he's just, dyed his whole beard and hair. Nice
yeah, black
and
again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The black bearded Bin Laden.
Yeah, like that's what people, when they are leading a resistance movement against the almighty greatest power on earth, that's what they do. They get some henna out.
They're very, very fashion conscious.
Very fashion conscious people. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But let's see, this is again where it gets dangerous because we start just saying it's ridiculous, not presenting any evidence.
Sure.
So, folks, I honestly, I dare you to come and post, evidence to say that Bin Laden did it. Because honestly, the burden of proof is on their hands.
Look, they haven't even charged Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and he's the guy who supposedly confessed. Now, why do you think they haven't charged a guy who already confessed? Because he was tortured. And if they were to formally charge him, then they'd have to formally deal with his defense, which is going to be he was tortured and that his confession is rendered inadmissible. Okay. And they've got this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in Guantanamo Bay. They call him, you know, the mastermind, or, you know, bin Laden is like the godfather, you know, of 9/11, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is like the commander who actually was, you know, coordinating it. But they've, you know, they've not charged anyone, actually. The only person that's ever actually been charged in relation to 9/11 was a guy who was already in prison when the attacks occurred. It was Zacharias Moussaoui. And ironically, they tortured him for years and years, and it turned out he was completely psychotic. And even though he was actually in prison during the 9/11 attacks, they've charged him with complicity in the 9/11 attacks because he wanted to be involved. That's actually what they said. He'd actually wanted to be involved. Look, it gets more and more ridiculous.
I'd like the ABC to maybe ask some of the hijackers that have been found alive by the BBC and Al Jazeera and interviewed.
Oh yeah.
And ask them why they're still alive, even though they were on the plane hijacking planes and smashing them into buildings.
Be good to find out.
Yeah, I mean, just that. Yeah, no, honestly, it's the thing is, there's so much evidence, and you just think just this is a smoking gun, and then just the thermite that's been found by a lot of the architects and engineers that have worked, and the physicists that are working with AE911Truth.org. Just these small little facts are like, come on, give us an answer. Yet Julia Gillard will say it's stupid and ridiculous without any sort of reason or evidence or anything to the contrary.
We have a top military whistleblower from the US who's come out and said that the 9/11 Commission was a lie from start to finish. Now, he's come out on US television, and I do actually have that here. Just quickly. 9/11 report is a cover-up from start to finish. Colonel Anthony Schaefer. Anthony Schaefer is a US Army Lieutenant Colonel who has alleged that the US Defense Intelligence failed to properly evaluate intelligence on 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta. Schaefer's allegations have become known as the Able Danger Controversy. Now, his evidence is related specifically to Mohammed Atta and the well-known information that the Pakistani government had wired money to Mohammed Atta before the attacks. And that this relationship between Atta and the Pakistanis was basically completely ignored in the 9/11 Commission. So, look, we could just go on all night. We could do every single show on this subject.
What are some of the best websites for people to
look at? Yeah, sure. I mean, look, my personal list of top favorites: scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. You can just put those phrases into Google. Journal of 9/11 Studies. Patriots Question 9/11. Lawyers for 9/11 Truth. Medical Professionals for 9/11 Truth. Political Leaders for 9/11 Truth. Firefighters for 9/11 Truth. Wouldn't you love to hear someone in Parliament just standing up and reciting all that?
Yeah, yeah. What movies would you recommend?
Well, you know, the old favorite and the one that got everyone thinking in the beginning was Loose Change. And
Final Cut.
Yeah, Loose Change, Final Cut was a nice compilation of the best evidence. There's actually a new film that's come out that's actually really good, I've been told. I haven't seen it. And I just can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's actually apparently very, very good. Really sticks to solid, you know, good reporting and solid evidence. You know,
what the evidence shows, yeah.
And of course, you know, the work of people like David Ray Griffin, Kevin Ryan, Stephen Jones, Richard Gage, and of course, yeah, the fireman's explosion testimony. In fact, I'm going to just play a little clip here. This is actually from some of the recently released material that was obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, you know, the 9/11 Truth Movement has had to prize these videos from the clutches of NIST, which is the NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which commissioned the reports that were done into the events, and they had all this video material which they just, you know, held onto as long as they could. But under FOI, they did actually have to release it. But we don't know whether they've released everything. We only know what we've got. But this one in itself is very, very, very revealing. Just have a quick listen to this.
What happened?
It was an explosion.
These are firemen.
It was in the lobby, and they fucking the third explosion, the whole lobby collapsed on us.
What was it like?
Horrible. Horrible. The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was
definitely a secondary explosion. Because we was inside waiting to go upstairs. And on the way upstairs, the whole fucking plane blew. And we just collapsed on everybody inside the lobby.
Similar to the first tower coming down, secondary?
I don't know about the first one, but I know the second one, it was terrible. Then there was a third one, too, after that one.
Third explosion after that?
Yes, sir. Everybody was inside the building waiting to go upstairs, and they just let loose. Everything just let loose inside the building.
So what you're telling me is that there was a plane or whatever hit the building, then a secondary explosion.
It was like three explosions after that. We came in after the fire. We came when the fire was going on already. We was in the staging area inside the building, okay, waiting to go upstairs. Then it exploded. Then the whole lobby collapsed on the lobby inside.
And this mayhem after that?
Everybody tried to work their way out. A lot of people trapped inside and everything.
Of course, in Brooklyn. We watched the first explosion. As we're watching the buildings, I saw a black, very large airplane fly right into the second building. Came out of the south. Right in front of our eyes. Just... It was so surreal, like a movie set. We were in the building for the third one, the collapse. And I was on this drive here for the other one.
People don't understand. There may be more. Any one of these fucking buildings can blow up. This ain't done yet.
Any one of these buildings could blow up. This ain't done yet. This is a group of firemen, right? Heroes. Guys that they're all bloodied. You know, they've just escaped within an inch of their lives. Many of their friends have already been killed at this point.
Now, before people just write off firemen as, they just fight fire. Well, no, they don't just fight fire. They do a lot of study on how fire reacts, how explosions happen. They spend their life figuring out how stuff cinders, how stuff explodes, how stuff reacts, how other chemicals react to other chemicals, how you can put out these things, how stuff ignite. You know, they don't just go and, oh, there's a flame, let's put some water on it.
Yeah, yeah.
They dedicate their life to figuring out how to retard explosions, flames of all sorts, electrical fires, coal fires, you know, all sorts.
And protecting human life is their main goal.
Yeah.
That's right. Rescuing people and also protecting themselves. Firemen won't rush into a building if they think they're all going to be killed.
Exactly.
They all went into that building because they didn't have any reason to expect that that building was going to just, you know, collapse into a pile of rubble.
Well, there's no historical,
precedent.
Precedent.
Yeah.
That's right. There's no historical precedent for steel structured buildings just collapsing due to fire.
Because they would know that the building, you know, as it's huge, right? The building has massive structural support, which actually has to hold up the whole height of the building, right? Which means that in a building that high, it means the structural supports down at the lobby level, yeah, and in the basement.
People go, oh, it wasn't just fire; it was the damage for the plane. and yeah. traded on the core structure.
Yeah.
Look, that's fine. You can take that on board. But I can tell you right now, if you take a little bit of the top of a building and slam it down onto the floor underneath, it's not going to disintegrate the whole building because there's more force underneath than there is above it. I mean, this is just standard Newtonian high school stuff, folks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you feel outraged, if you feel concerned, if you want to do something, why not write a letter to your Member of Parliament? Mm. Why not
write a letter to the Prime Minister's office?
Yeah, and why not make a phone call as well? Put a phone call through to your MP. Maybe play them that little clip that I just played you there, which you can get on 911oz.com, Fireman Explosion Testimony. You know, you could actually put that on a disc. You could just basically download that, put that on a disc and send it to them and say, have a look at this.
Oh, that's a great idea. You can buy it. Buy the film, Loose Change, Final Cut, and burn copies and send them to all your local representatives.
Absolutely. Or
and inundate the Prime Minister's office with these films.
Even better, I might recommend the Architects and Engineers Blueprint for Truth, just because it's more focused.
Yeah, Blueprint for Truth. The Architects and Engineers Blueprint for Truth. Brilliant. And if you can't afford to buy it to support these amazing amazing people, then you can go and download the torrent for it. I'm sure it's around.
Sure. And if anyone wants to know how to do that, send us an email and I'll help you, okay? It's not that hard.
And burn these things and just send them like crazy. I mean, CDs, what are they worth now? DVDs, what are they worth? 2 cents a pop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, very, very cheap.
Stick it in the post and send it directly and you know, send it. I mean, send it anonymously if you don't feel like you want your name on something. But, you know.
But just make that effort, to let your representative know what you think and what you feel. Because when you get down to it, it is a democracy. I know that word gets poo-pooed a lot and people don't believe it really is a democracy. And people sometimes say, well, a democracy is just rule of the majority. Well, that's true. And sometimes that can be unfair. But if enough people, right, in a democracy, if enough people say something, then it does have to be listened to. And
for long enough.
And for long enough. You've got to be persistent and there's got to be enough people doing it. And this is where I think we really are still struggling here to help our brothers and sisters out there to get over the line of actually making your thoughts known and standing for it, standing up for it, not being afraid. See, I meet people all the time, every day at work, you know, people I meet casually who agree with what I've said about 9/11,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, at the very least, they think there's some merit to it, but will never take any steps to do anything. And they look at me and they say to me things like, gee, you're really taking a big risk, mate. You know, do you think it's safe for you? And they say that to me, you know, sort of patting me on the shoulder and sort of, you know, boy, you're taking a big risk, mate. You sure you really want to be doing this? Yeah, people say that to me. Now,
and the comedy of that is they're bigger conspiracy theorists than you in that case because they have this big idea that the government will kill anyone and everyone that even comes up with. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. I mean, honestly, just speak up.
Speak up. Or forever hold your peace.
Or forever let someone else wage war.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Okay. Girl sold for sex wants to sue state government. Look, this is a story that I want to just cover briefly because we did a show on the crisis with Department of Community Services a couple of weeks ago. I interviewed a lady who has had some bad experiences. I've got a group of mothers who've contacted me who all want to come on the show to talk about the terrible things that are happening under care, under government care in Australia. And this is actually just one of the more extreme stories. And I'm just trying to open that up now. This is actually from The World Today, which was broadcast on radio today. And a Hobart girl who was sold for sex last year when she was 12 years old and under state care is trying to sue the Tasmanian government. The government has admitted that key agencies, including the Child Protection Office and the police, failed the girl. Now, Josh, what I found absolutely mind-boggling about this story is the comment made by the minister. And I'm just going to read you here. The state government has acknowledged that its services failed to adequately protect the girl, but the minister also said that the girl is now doing fine. She's at school and she even has a part-time job and she's quite happy that she's fine. That's actually how the minister responded to this interview in relation to
my God,
a girl being sold for sex under government care.
My God. My God.
Staggering. It's really breathtaking, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, he should be fired straight away.
It is absolutely unbelievable.
Such a disgusting man that can say such heartless.
Yeah.
stuff. I mean, he just needs to be fired.
It seems to be part of this endemic problem that the nanny state has, where they can't admit their faults. We've got the same thing with the vaccine debacle, where it's coming more and more clear. Like, all these people have been lying. There's been corruption. There's been just, you know, withholding of evidence, and they just they refuse to admit it. And then they try to tell you just to stop thinking about it. You know, stop wasting time on it. Let's move on with something else. You know, The girl's all right now. Yeah, stop making a fuss.
Yeah, she's got a part-time job. She's paying her taxes now. She's no longer a burden on the state. You know, she pays her taxes.
So I'll leave you to explore that story at your leisure while we move on with the next.
At your horror.
Yeah, indeed. So as I was saying here, the vaccine controversy has really heated up. There's a great little article from crikey.com.au here. Temperatures are rising in the stoush between federal and state health officials over who was to blame for an inadequate response when evidence began to emerge that young children in Western Australia were suffering febrile convulsions after having the influenza vaccine Fluvax. As previously reported, in August, a report by a former Western Australian chief medical officer, Professor Bryant Stokes, raised many concerns about surveillance and reporting of adverse events and communications between state and federal health authorities. The report made a number of recommendations, including calling for the Federal Department of Health and Ageing to formally review and address any perceived or real concerns in peak bodies with regard to conflict of interest, and also called for consumers to be given more accurate information about vaccine content. Well, the TGA has finally released a detailed response to the report, and it takes a hefty swipe at Stokes and his conclusions. TGA is the Therapeutic Goods Administration, if you don't know what that means. The TGA's response seems unlikely to achieve progress on at least one of Stokes' review recommendations, the development of an open, trusting and transparent partnership between federal and state and health authorities. This was needed, his report suggested, as the current relationships are not functional. Now, I mean, again, this is staggering, Josh, because the Therapeutic Goods Association is supposed to be a kind of watchdog, and they've basically told this guy to shut up. They've said he's wasting time. It says he's made errors.
And this is the problem when people keep asking for more regulation.
Yeah.
Right. What you basically get is a monopoly, a fake regulation. You get a regulation, and then what happens? Well, the lobbyists jump on board, and the companies that are actually being regulated jump on board. And the biggest, usually it's the biggest, they use the regulatory bodies to monopolize an area or to censor things that are happening in their own industries. And and see, because there's a monopoly, you know, on the regulatory body, basically, there is no regulation. It is self-regulation, except everyone's under this. Everyone's been hoodwinked to think it's actually working. And when it comes to, you know, things like child safety or vaccines, you know, the only real true way of regulating things is to have true free information out there on people that are falling sick. And these are quite, you know, and this is where people have to get together. They cannot trust regulatory bodies ever, because regulatory bodies get corrupted, especially governmental regulatory bodies. And you need to be diligent as a consumer, as a user. And you know, this is where people that are passionate enough start websites where people can post symptoms, have cross references to symptoms, have it more open. You cannot trust centralized, government controlled regulatory bodies, because they are all infiltrated and controlled by the corporations that they're trying to regulate.
Yeah. So we we call on you, the listener, to basically be the watchdog. Because, you know, we are being watchdogs. Josh is a watchdog. I'm a watchdog. Now you've got to be a watchdog. And every parent has to be a watchdog for their children. That's actually how you build a safe society. You don't just hand over all the power to some great august, body and then just bow down and accept whatever decree they make. That, that's kind of like, that's like ancient Egypt or something, you know, like that was maybe the model that worked for the pharaohs. Mm. But, you know, we have kind of, you know, got some better ideas than that now.
We're in the information age, folks.
Yeah,
and it's quite easy to set up a quick website. There's plenty of open source websites. It's easy to hire some program. If you've got an idea, basically you just draw a little flow chart of how your website should work, how people can report, maybe, regulate, organic foods or I don't know, vaccines, and just say, right, we're going to regulate vaccines and start a little website where people can post symptoms and cross-reference symptoms. Have you had these? This is what other people have had, sort of like a cloud of information out there that people can, then the cloud grows, the more people have reported this symptom, and you can go and check these. You know, these are the sort of things you can just get up and do. It'll cost you $1,000, $2,000 to set up, get some programmer to do it, you know, and I mean,
I think you'll get that money back because I think if someone were to do that and ask for some donations, I think the money would start flowing back because there's that many people out there who now know that we've got a big problem and they're just really everyone's waiting for someone to take the initiative. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
I mean, we've interviewed some great people in this show who are doing as much as they can, but they've got their hands full. I mean, Bronwyn Hancock, who sent me this article today that I was reading to you, she's got her hands full. She's answering the phone all day long for parents who are calling up with their, you know, kids having adverse reactions, just trying to help them. Yeah, you know, she's committed. She's, her entire time is committed to that. That's all she does. But yeah, if there's someone out there who wants to do that, I mean, I'll give you some tips on how to set that up, and you could do it, and you could start making progress real quick. You know, there's mailing lists out there that you could get on, and we could start to really make progress with that too.
Yeah, look, it's not hard, and I mean, that's just one little idea, right? So
yeah,
but regulation, please, folks, stop asking government to regulate things. Because all you're doing is giving the government a bigger gun to point at everyone.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you're actually giving massive multinational corporations bigger guns to point at you without being involved. Because, oh, no, it's the government doing it. It's the government. That's what they'll say. Oh, no, you know, the government's regulating. It's okay. It's all good. Then some big story will come out. Oh, look, this great. Like, for instance, the regulatory body for the star rating on fridges and white goods, you know, the energy star rating, it's come out that total fraud. Total
really?
Fraud. Most of the, you know, some guy, some electrician has just gone and actually took his own readings and gone, what? These readings are totally false. This fridge isn't 4-star. It's like 1-star, if anything. And so, again, no point in, you know, the thing is as well, is you're paying for these ridiculous regulatory bodies through your taxes. When we should, as a community, say, hey, enough with this whole centralized rubbish, because centralization just doesn't work because it can be corrupted. That's what the web is for. That's what the internet's for. It's just beautiful for information sharing.
Well said. Thank you very much for that. Josh, would you like to pick up on the next story? We've got something here about fluoride.
Oh, the old advertiser. Yes. Well, as we all know, I mean, the advertiser, Rupert Murdoch's first newspaper. So he started murdering documents. That's what we say, Murdoch. We have a hit piece saying, basically, if the ride's fine.
We have an article here titled "Be Afraid, There's Something Lurking in the Water." And this is published today in the Adelaide Advertiser. Now, there's been a lot of talk about fluoride lately. There was actually on Channel 7, I believe, an expert came on Channel 7's Today Tonight to talk about it. And
I'm pretty sure it was only shown in the Adelaide Today Tonight as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, but of course because of YouTube.
Yeah, it got around, didn't it? People are starting to wake up about fluoride. There's been more people speaking out about it, and it's becoming more widely known that the number of countries that actually fluoridate their water is a tiny, minority, and it's really just the UK, America, Canada, and Australia, I believe.
And
China,
article,
large part of China too, of course. Yeah.
This article, it's straight out, first thing they say. There's something lurking in the water. Be afraid, very afraid, in bold. Then, well, that's the message from fluoride conspiracy theorists. Oh, God help me.
Yeah.
I mean, this concept of conspiracy theorists.
Now, what's that got to do with anything? Can I just emphasize, just before you continue, I just want to make one point really, really crystal clear. For anyone out there who is going to say I'm some sort of, I've got some paranoid views about this, right?
Yeah.
My view on the fluoride is this. I don't know that the fluoride is actually bad for me or not. I have not got that expertise to be able to determine that. What I do know is this, is that it is a type of medication, right? Because it is actually a chemical agent, right?
And they openly say it's for your we put it in there for your teeth, so it's a medication.
It is a medication. And as far as I'm concerned, being involuntarily medicated by something that's run, that I have no choice over, that's in everything I eat and drink and in the shower and every time I use water, is something that it doesn't matter, even if it's good for me, I don't want it in the water, okay?
No, if vitamin C was put in the water, I just wouldn't want it in my water.
Well, I'd far prefer if it was vitamin C than something that's actually poisonous, because fluoride is actually a poison, whereas vitamin C isn't. You can actually ingest massive amounts of vitamin C and not even get sick. It's well known.
But I totally agree with your point. If they want to be so good for people, well, why don't they put vitamin C in the water? Why don't they put some vitamin D? Because we're all quite deficient in vitamin D after their massive, slip, slop, slap campaigns for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Why don't they put, fiber in the water? Why don't they just put everything in the water that's good for us? Because, they're obviously looking out for the best of our interests.
Yeah. Before you go, buying into the tone of this argument that basically implies that we are just kind of crazy, they're the ones that put a chemical agent which has a very, very fine threshold of toxicity, like over a certain amount, it is acknowledged that it will actually make your bones go porous and it will make your teeth go all black. That is acknowledged, right?
And your teeth porous, actually. If you overdo fluoride, you start getting white spots all over your teeth.
Ironic, isn't it?
Damages your teeth. It also damages your pineal gland, which causes depression. So, and here we have this article by this Tory Shepherd saying water fluoridation has a long and muddied history of facts, fighting, fraudulence, fear and obstruction.
Wow, obfuscation.
Thank you, Harry.
Fighting fraudulence, fear and obfuscation. She must have been trying to write poetry there.
Oh, absolutely. And then we get to this is beautiful. On the other side of the conspiracy are the conspiracy theories, which are wild enough to rival tales of anal probes from little grey men and Elvis shooting JFK from the grassy knoll. Oh, God, help me. Who is this person?
Let's just take a swipe at anyone who thinks that there might have been a conspiracy to kill Kennedy too, shall we, while we're at it?
Yeah, or you know, but then make it, like, really nutty, like Elvis did it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That's really – people often say
and
that.
And bring up, like, filth, like anal probes. Like, what has anal probes and little grey men and Elvis shooting JFK got to do with the scientific facts that fluoride from, you know, industrial waste – being put into our water, and you can see pictures of people that actually put this stuff in our water, you know, or test the tubes that are going into the drinking water. They're fully covered in, like, gear that would look like, you know, it's a spaceman.
Yeah, it is a toxic substance.
Yeah, it's absolutely toxic.
Yeah, unlike vitamin C, which is actually not a toxic substance, you know. I mean, it is actually a poison, right. You know. Fluoride is, and it was in rat poison at one time.
So, you know, and of course people will say, well, Hitler was the first to use fluoridation, water fluoridation in the camps to...
well, that's unproved, you know.
Right? But this is where these conspiracy theories come from. This is what she's drawing on.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, so some people say it's to stop people rising up against authority. It makes them more malleable to authority, which is totally unproven. But, you know, I mean, don't see why not. I mean, I really want to ask the question, why are you putting it in our water? And then B, where are you getting it from?
Now, I have a dentist, folks, and I'll give a promo here for the dentist that I use, the Holistic Dental Surgery in St. Leonard, Sydney. They do not put fluoride in anything. They do not use even fluoride topical treatments, and they're one of the best dentists that I've ever been to. They're highly professional. They use all the latest technologies, and they have alternatives to fluoride that they claim are better than fluoride. So just before you go saying, oh, but all dentists say we should use fluoride, no, they don't.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is there's been so much propaganda about fluoride and teeth that you just think, oh, fluoride, teeth. What? You know, what about calcium? What about, you know, just actually eating well, eating less sugar?
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. But this is just revolting. These sort of articles, honestly, they just make you want to throw up at the mainstream media.
They do. We should just throw up all our fluoride back at them.
Back at them.
Yeah.
You know, I really just, you know, the thing is,
we should just douse them in fluoride
in her water that much, then she should be allowed to have it. I've got no problem with her bathing in as much fluoride as she wants.
Yeah.
Just don't give it to me. I don't want it. You know what I mean? Why do we all have to be forcibly medicated?
Oh, because you're a conspiracy, you know, nut. And, you know, it's because you're such a conspiracy nut that you're afraid of it, Josh. Yeah, normal people just, you know, just shut up and don't, you know, make a fuss. You're just making a fuss because you're crazy. Okay.
I am. I'm absolutely bonkers. But you know what, Harold? If I'm, you know, I might be so crazy that I never want to have any, I don't know, any broccoli, because I think broccoli is all from some spaceman, and it's a big conspiracy to cause cancer on everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I should be allowed not to eat broccoli, even though my theories are so ridiculous. The government shouldn't come into my home and force feed me broccoli.
But broccoli is good for you, Josh. And we have,
you know, I mean, it's a crazy argument, but you have to eat it. If I have an aversion to something, it doesn't matter what my reasoning is. I shouldn't be force fed it by the state, whatever my reason is.
Yes.
And for someone to come out and just call anyone that thinks fluoride's bad for them and puts them in the case with Elvis shooting JFK from the grassy knoll.
Yeah, it's amazing really how they can dig up that
about
meme.
What a free society is.
Yeah, yeah. And of course that meme of the conspiracies and the aliens and the fear that there is some deep dark conspiracy, of course, does exist. I mean, I've met a lot of people who are paranoid, and unfortunately, these practices that the government have don't help the people who are paranoid get better. You know, when the government's doing something that's actually goes against basic human rights and freedoms and, you know, has been abolished in a lot of other countries that are more advanced than we are and doesn't, you know, seem to actually listen to medical experts about it, of course the people who are paranoid are going to be worried about that. You know, if you're worried about these people who are paranoid, why not stop doing all this crazy shit?
Well said. And, you know, folks, I really urge you to go to type "be afraid there's something lurking in the water" into Google. And you'll get the, adelaidenow.com.au. Yeah, and leave a comment. Go find some evidence about fluoride and post it there. It'll take you 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is how dumb this Tory shepherd is. I mean, it literally takes you 10 minutes to look at adverse side effects of fluoridation.
Now, for some odd reason, I can't see any comments on this article at the moment, even though it does have a Have Your Say section there. I don't know what's happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no one's commented. No one's commented. It's only had two retweets. 54 people have recommended it, like idiots.
That is incredible, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, get in there, get amongst it, and let them know what you think. Okay, another Australian tale for tonight. WikiLeaks, back in the news. WikiLeaks has been experiencing a lot of disruptions ever since the last big release of documents from Afghanistan a few months ago. And of course, Julian Assange has been hounded. He's been accused of rape. That whole saga, I dedicated a whole show to talking about that. But, you know, that's never been substantiated. And in fact, the person who made the claim against him even admitted that it was actually consensual sex, even though they called it rape. Pretty weird. Sweden apparently has some pretty strange politically correct rules about sexual misconduct. And that seems to have been used against Julian Assange to the max. And he was apparently set up there where a couple of women who he was having, you know, some, you know, relationships with decided to go to the police, and immediately that was leaked to the media. Well, things have moved on from there, and the next development in the saga is now that WikiLeaks funding has actually been cut off because Money Bookers, which collects the whistleblowing's website donations, has frozen their account. WikiLeaks claims that it has had its funding blocked and is the victim of financial warfare by the US government. Money Bookers, a British registered internet payment company that collects WikiLeaks donations, emailed the organization to say that it had closed down its account because it had been put on an official US watch list and on an Australian government blacklist. Let me just repeat that: on an Australian government blacklist. Hello.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. I mean, you know, if you really want to go ahead with this Conroy filter, folks, this is the kind of thing that you're going to be expecting. Amazing sites. And we're talking about self-regulatory bodies setting up your own website to regulate things before Herod. And this is exactly what Julian Assange, Assange and co. have done with WikiLeaks to an extraordinary level that it's really making the Pentagon tremble. And now it's been put on an Australian internet blacklist.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot more information on this story, but what I'm pretty sure is that that blacklist would have been set up to deal with money laundering, like for illegal organizations, drug dealers, terrorist organizations, etc., right? You know, do not trade with this person type thing, right? So yeah. What they're really doing, I mean, this is just political persecution. This is just the oldest, you know, thing in the book. It's just like, yeah, it's political persecution. They don't like the fact that WikiLeaks is exposing information, even though it really hasn't done anything against the Australian government. We are just vassals of the Americans. Yeah, just total vassals. We just basically, you know, yeah.
Well, folks, you know, for the listeners out there, I mean, this is where we've got to double our efforts with WikiLeaks. This is where we've got to support them as the people and send checks to them, you know. Send them or if you can't afford to support them financially, support them emotionally and informatively by spreading the news that they need help.
Now, WikiLeaks is in trouble, folks. I just tried to visit their site again. It's actually been down for a few days now. If you go to the site, it just says, "We are sorry. WikiLeaks is currently undergoing scheduled maintenance." Now, that's been up there like that for at least 3 days. So yeah. This is not a good sign, ladies and gentlemen.
Websites, you know, and I've been the owner of websites.
Yeah.
They are run by people like you and me.
Yeah.
They're not run by massive multinationals. Once they're up, they're just up. They'll never go away now. You know, it's the internet. Once it's up, it's happened. No. These people are really fighting hard. They're spending a lot of money for services. Services are expensive, folks. You're looking at thousands of dollars a month. It's not just $24 a month.
No. On your host and nothing that, like that. Nothing.
So that's what a lot
like
of people
that.
Think. They think, oh, you know, GoDaddy offer $24 a month and you can have a website. It's not like that. Once you have a certain amount of people visiting your website, the server just can't handle it anymore. And so you need to upgrade.
Well, you've got some knowledge of that, Josh, haven't you? You've run a pretty high traffic commercial site and you've had to fork out quite a lot of money just to keep it running.
Oh, yeah. I'm up to $800 a month. And it's really not that much traffic I'm getting compared to something like WikiLeaks.
I've heard anecdotally that the Alex Jones operation, just to keep their websites running, costs $100,000 a month.
Yeah. See?
I mean, that is, and you know, they have millions of listeners, of course, but they've got to have the cash flow. If they don't have the cash flow, their site goes down and you don't see it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's totally different. You move into that league, it's just totally different from having a site that you just think, oh, it's really cheap because I can run it for $20 a month. Yeah, that's okay when you're only getting a few hundred visitors a day. If you're getting
a few thousand visitors a day, you can handle that.
Yeah, yeah.
On little spikes.
Yeah.
But not $50,000-$60,000 visitors all the time.
Yeah.
Then spikes of 200,000-400,000 people when it hits, Dig or something like that. Or when the New York Times does a big article on WikiLeaks, they literally get hit by millions of people around the world.
All at once. There's a giant spike in demand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this costs thousands, folks. So they need support.
Yeah.
Because they're doing an amazing job, honestly, they are. And yeah, they've got their faults, like anyone else.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And again, if you'd like to make a difference, if you'd like to speak to your elected representative about this outrageous blacklisting of a charitable organization which is in the interests of transparency and human rights, which is like, Amnesty International or something like that, is of the same caliber as that.
Yeah.
Being blacklisted? Hello? I mean, would you like to talk to your MP about that? Because I really think that a question might have been asked in Parliament about this and it wasn't.
I just don't understand how that's democratic. How, folks? Was I asked? Why, was I asked?
Yeah.
If WikiLeaks could be put on a blacklist? Were you asked, Herod? Were you democratically asked by Parliament? Was it ever brought up in Parliament? Was it ever aired? Was it ever...
No, we didn't even know. Yeah, most people don't even know.
Why? You know, this is the thing about everyone, oh, we're in a democracy. But, you know, we just vote for someone. They don't get elected. They get elected by two other blokes that are, you know, independents, three. And then, you know, that's meant to be a representation and, boom, there you have it. There's your say. Now go back to sleep.
Absolutely. Look, we're going to have to move on with our last story for tonight. I've got a trailer from a film that's coming up about the Oklahoma City bombing of 1995. And the guy who made the film is actually in Australia, and I met him last week, and I'll actually be interviewing him probably on the next show. His name's Chris Emery.
Yeah, brilliant.
And yeah, and we'll bring you the whole story of the Oklahoma bombing. It's a long time ago now. It's 1995, precursor to, you know, other dark things that happened not long after. But a lot of you know, information about that has come forth that shows that you know, the Timothy McVeigh, who was the lone bomber, could not possibly have done it on his own. I mean, they actually said that he did it on his own, believe it or not. You know, and they've demonstrated that there were, you know, more explosive devices in the building that brought it down, and there's a lot more to it that we'll be exploring in the next show. So
I won't go into it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's part of the history of false flag operations that go back, you know, into the shadows of time, and I'm sure the Romans did it. You know what I mean? I'm sure that this false flag thing, it's a classic thing that powerful civilizations, governments do to try and increase their power, because if you attack yourself and blame someone else, it gives you a carte blanche to go and attack that other person.
Or to spend a lot more taxpayers' money on arms, hardware.
And of course, we saw after the Oklahoma bombing, you know, the increased demonization of militia groups in America, which is still part of the spectrum of what they call terrorism. And, you know, they're increasing pressures to try and take the guns away from people in America, but they haven't succeeded in the way they have in Australia. I mean, Australia has been completely disarmed, I have to say. You know, they did a good job here. But Americans are still very much
when you say completely, all the crooks.
The
shysters.
The professional criminals are armed.
Professional criminals, they can get a gun like that anytime.
Absolutely. So, I think it's time for us to basically say goodnight. I'm going to end the show just with this clip here, and hope to bring you the interview next week with Chris Emery.
Yeah, and folks, remember that challenge. If you find the key evidence to say that 9/11 was the official story that it was, just post it on the on truthnews.com.au.
Keep telling people about the show. I've noticed that the Facebook numbers are just growing daily. It's just ever since I put the Facebook like button up on the page and created the Facebook fan page, our numbers are just growing exponentially. That's really good. It's a really good sign.
Yeah, fantastic.
And you know, if you want to get into discussions about what we talk about, join Facebook and leave a comment on, because all the stories that get tweeted on Twitter also get put on Facebook, and they're the stories that we talk about in each show. So, you know, if you want to get into the discussion on this, join up and leave a comment.
Absolutely. Till next week, folks. Yeah. I'm Josh Jackson.
And I'm Herod Fenton. See you then.
On April 19th, 1995, at 9:02 a.m., explosions tore through the Alfred P. Murrow Building in downtown Oklahoma City, ripping through the consciousness of America. 169 people were left dead and hundreds more injured. The Oklahoma City bombing was the largest act of terrorism on American soil. until 9/11. America had a new demon. We're now being told that this demon is emerging from its slumber. Since that day of horror, groundbreaking new information has come to light. So provocative, so explosive, that it threatens to shatter everything we thought we knew about the true nature of terrorism.
We'll pursue every lead and use every possible resource to bring the people responsible to justice.
I was sitting at my desk there on the 8th floor. I felt the building start shaking, lights went out. Debris started falling on my desk. Something hit me in the back of the head and knocked me out before the truck bomb went off. What that tells you is that there were other explosive devices in the building that actually brought the building down.
It's an earthquake. Everybody get down on underneath on the floor. And I had sat there and I thought, no, it doesn't feel like an earthquake. 7 or 8 seconds later, I felt this explosion.
Only an imbecile would look at that damage pattern and not understand that it couldn't have been made by a truck bomb, because a truck bomb is going to release its energy simultaneously in every direction.
The record clearly shows that Dr. Jolly and West consulted Timothy McVeigh's defense team. Dr. West had previously been psychiatrist and consulted for Patty Hearst, Saran Saran, and Jack Ruby.
We know that Jolly and West was considered to be the number two mind control expert in North America under only Dr. Ewing Cameron. We know that he was McVeigh's doctor from the time around the trial to the time he was incarcerated in Terre Haute, Indiana, and then executed.
Even though the spin was, it was the right wing, it was the militias, McVeigh was involved in all this stuff, he did it because of Waco, and all this stuff that the media was pumping out, none of it panned out. The militia in those days would have guarded the Murrah building. Now, they wouldn't have guarded the UN.
I wrote a letter to the district attorney, Macy, told him what I had seen and that I wanted to testify in the grand jury. I got a letter back from him telling me that the grand jury did not want to hear anything I had to say about the bombing.
It is every patriotic American's duty, every man, woman, and child's responsibility to research the facts contained in this film, to verify for yourself that this information is true, that the rabbit hole goes even deeper, and then take action to bring the criminals that perpetrated this attack to justice. If we don't, they're going to win and bring down our republic in the process.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.